What it do, guys? Welcome back to my podcast. This is your girl, Jasmine Deneen. How are you doing today? I'm doing pretty good. I've been in the house for about 20-something days. I honestly lost count, but the reality of it is I got 24 more days to go. So I'm just focusing on the end goal, the hopefully end goal of April 20th or April 30th, I should say. Hopefully they don't change it, but nevertheless, what I say last time, sometimes we cannot focus on the things that are uncontrollable. We can only focus on the things that are controllable. And what is controllable today is me recording a podcast. So that is what I am here to do for you guys today. This podcast is going to be relatively quick. It's going to be a more informational podcast, very similar to the ones I did before, where you probably want a pen or paper, or you can always just go back and re-listen to it if you want to. But I would suggest a pen and paper to jot down some things that we are going to go over in this podcast. So if you haven't read the title, which I'm pretty sure, of course, you had to read the title to click on the recording, this is going to be all about how to connect with your ancestors and how to build your ancestor altar. So we're going to talk about a few different topics in this podcast. So like I said, it's always easier for you to probably have a pen and paper down so you can jot some things down. Or you, like I said, you can always go back and listen to it. I don't know why I'm rambling. Let's get into this topic. Step number one, building up that relationship with your ancestors. This is the most important step, but honestly, this is a step that I feel a lot of people step over just because they don't know A, how to do it, or B, they don't see the importance of doing it. I see that it's popular to be a daughter of an Orisha. I know that a lot of people want to follow Oshun off the jump, but you have to build up that relationship with your grandma, with your great-grandma, with your great-great-great-grandma. You got to build up that relationship with them first in order to then go into a relationship with the Orishas. I do want to say that first. Second is you have to build up that relationship with them before you even ask them for anything. Because if we can be honest, it doesn't matter what type of candle you burn, what type of oil you put on a candle, and what type of herbs you put on a candle, to ask for whatever you're asking for, if you have not built up that connection, that request is going to fall on deaf's ears, literally, because no one's going to hear it because no one knows you. They don't know you. They're looking at you like, who is this girl? And why is she asking me for things? I saw someone's live, and I can't remember who it was, but I saw someone live that said, you know, you can't walk up to someone, a stranger, and start asking them for stuff. So why do you think that you can walk up to your ancestors and start asking them for stuff? And that is very true. You cannot just start, oh my God, I think I'm going to start doing spell work, or I'm going to start doing spiritual work, or whatever you want to call it. I'm going to start doing it, but you haven't connected with your ancestors. You know, you skip the step, and nothing that you touch will prosper if you haven't. If you don't have your army behind you protecting you. First things first, you want to welcome them into your home. You want to let them know that they are wanted, they are needed, and they are respected. You can do this by putting an offering at the front door. It doesn't have to be anything too crazy or anything too elaborate. It could be something that you know that they like. So say if you're trying to connect with your great-grandma or your grandma, and you knew that she loves sweet potato pie. If you want to put a slice of sweet potato pie by the door, just to let her know that you want her in here, you welcome her in here, and you bring her offerings in, that would be amazing. Do not put the food on the floor. I personally find that to be somewhat disrespectful because you want to treat the dead just like you would treat the living, and you will not put living people food on the floor. So don't do it to your grandma and to your ancestors. So you can always get like a table from like Five Below or Walmart, just a small little table that you can put the food on, or put something that they like. Like if you know your grandma, you know your ancestors, and if you don't know them, you can ask about them or put something that you think that you would like. Kind of like I said, you treat the living like you treat the dead, I'm sorry, like you would treat the living. So when you invite people to your house, you want to make sure you have stuff for them to be comfortable. You want to make sure that they have food. You want to make sure that it's food that you know that they would like. So it's ultimately the same thing. Now, this table doesn't have to be outside if you're living in an apartment or if you're living with people that you kind of want to make it a little bit more discreet, or you just don't want the outside world to know your business. And you can make it on the inside, but put it close to the door to let them know that they are welcome, that you want them here, and you want to start growing with them as a relationship goes. Now, let's jump into the altar. The altar, I will say, is one of the most, matter of fact, the altar is the most important part of showing your appreciation. And I'm saying showing, not verbalizing your appreciation, because we're going to get into that as well. Because I feel a lot of people feel like all they have to do is build an altar and they're good. They made that connection and they don't sit down with their ancestors. They don't talk to them. They don't build a connection with them. But we're going to talk about that later. Let's talk about the altar. The altar is the most important part, the most important way to show that you want them there, that you respect them there, etc., etc., etc. So, few things that you're gonna need, and this is what I said before, that you might want to get a pen and a paper so that you can jot this down, or you can always just come back to this podcast as a reference. So the first thing that you're gonna need is going to be a photo of your ancestors. Now, if you do not have a photo, that is perfectly fine. You can just write their names down on a piece of paper and just put it on your altar. That will work sufficiently enough. But if you do have a photo, just go ahead and throw that picture up there. Two things that comes with that picture. First, you don't want that to be an entire obituary. So if the only thing you have of that ancestor is an obituary, do not put the obituary on your altar. You can just write their name on a piece of paper and that will be fine. And second, the most important part is if the photo is of them and someone else that is living currently, do not put that photo on your altar. You don't want to put any living pictures of any living people on your altar. So say case in point, if you're trying to honor your grandma and you only have photos of her and your grandfather is still alive, just go ahead and just write her name on a piece of paper and leave it on your altar. Or you can just take the extra step and crop him out of the photo. But you do not want to put living people on your altar. So the next thing that you're going to want to do is making sure that you're representing all four elements on your altar. That's going to be air, water, earth, and fire. So you can do these in several different ways, and I'm going to touch on every single one individually. So first things first is going to be fire. Fire is pretty easy, pretty self-explanatory, but you want to make sure that you always have at least one white candle on your altar, as well as a 7-day candle, give or take. How you're feeling at that moment depends on the actual candle that you might use. So that is up to your own personal discretion. But I do feel that one white candle is sufficient enough. But if you want to go ahead and throw 100 candles on your altar, that is perfectly fine. These are just the bare minimum steps of what you should have on your altar. You can do whatever you want. You can make it as creative as you want or as plain as you want. I'm just giving you the bare minimum, the basic steps that you need to take in order to build a successful ancestor altar. So, next element I want to talk about is going to be earth. Earth isn't a little tricky, but it's not. Earth has a lot of elements to it in itself, I should say. So you can always use crystals. Crystals represent earth. One thing that I feel that most people don't think about, I feel like a lot of people acquire certain things, but then they don't. How can I say this nicely? I feel like certain people read about things and then they want to do it, but they don't know everything that goes into it. You can buy crystals, but unless you connect with those crystals, unless you speak to those crystals on what they want, what you want them to do, they're pretty useless. So make sure that you are buying the correct crystals for your desires and then speaking your desires into the crystals before placing them on your altar. So, crystals are a great way to represent earth. You can also use plants. I personally have a plant on my altar. That's a great way to represent earth. Now, once you get a little deeper into your spirituality and once you build up that connection with your ancestors, you can use graveyard dirt. But I would say consult with someone a little bit more knowledgeable than you, or a little bit more knowledgeable, I'm not going to say than you, to make sure that you're collecting it the right way, because it's a process with collecting graveyard dirt. You just can't go up to some grave and just start digging up. Like, it doesn't work like that, and I feel like a lot of people do. So personally, I say just stick with your plants and your crystals so that you can hit that earth element. Okay, now the last two elements are pretty easy to obtain. The first one is going to be air. You can use incense or sage for that. That's pretty easy to come across. I feel like a lot of us just have that in our houses right now. The second one is going to be water. Water is just putting a cup of water on your altar. You can put it in whatever cup that you feel necessary. For me personally, I use crystal wine glasses just because I find it to be aesthetically pleasing, as well as I am extra and I want to bring some of my personality to my altar. And I am honoring my grandmother, and my grandmother is extra too, and we was extra together when she was on this earth, and we're extra together when she is in the afterlife. So that's why I use crystal wine glasses, but honestly, you can use whatever floats your boat, literally. So those are the four elements that you need to have represented on your altar. Now let's jump into offerings. Offerings are extremely important because it is showing someone that you care. And like I said before, we're going to treat the dead in our house the same way that we treat the living, being that when they come, they need to feel welcome, they need to feel comfortable, and they need to know that we want them there. And offerings, that's exactly what that does. It lets them know that we want them there, that we're happy that they're there, and we don't want them to leave. So it's different ways that you can do offerings. You can do food, and I feel like food is the most common. You always want to make sure that you are putting something out there that is slow perishable, so something that is not going to rotten as quickly. Like, if it can't stay out a day, then don't put it on your altar. That's my personal beliefs. But you might want to use bananas, nuts. Honestly, you can use whatever that you like or whatever that you think your ancestors are going to like. When it comes to food, if you are actually cooking the food, make sure that you are cooking separate food for your ancestors. Make sure that you're not adding salt to that food. Make sure that no one is eating that food. I see so many people, and it's actually a meme that I find kind of funny, where it was, "I'm sorry, my girlfriend, like, eat the ancestors' food." Make sure no one's eating that food. So if you have like a dog or a cat or small children, make sure that your altar is high enough that they just won't see snacks and just go for it. But like I said, you want to make sure that you're not cooking with salt. You want to make sure that you're making them their own separate food. And you want to make sure that you are giving it to them as an offering. And we're going to talk about how to give it to them as an offering in a few seconds. But I will say this, every offering does not have to be food related. It can be something that you have personally bonded over with that person while they're still alive, or it's something that is known in your family history. Personally, for me, a good example of that would be I keep marijuana. I keep a Lisa Graham of marijuana on my altar. I do that because smoking weed in my family, both sides of my family, has never been a taboo thing. If you was to go to my grandmother's house when my grandfather was alive, you would always smell weed in the house because my grandfather was smoking weed. My grandmother, who's still alive, will still adamantly tell you that the only reason why she doesn't smoke weed now is because she has asthma. Everyone seems to smoke weed in my family, even the ones who have passed away, on both sides. So smoking weed is a very common thing. It's so common in my family that I have three aunts on my dad's side that don't smoke weed. And I have two aunts on my mom's side that don't smoke weed. And they're looked at as like, ugh. Or if they have an attitude, my uncle would be like, because they need a blunt. That's why they're so angry. They need to smoke. Like, so weed is a very common thing in my family. And so the way that I honor my ancestors is, you know, bringing a little ganja to them. Another thing that you can do is also liquor. My family liked to smoke up, but my family actually liked to pour up a little bit more. My great-grandfather was an avid drinker. My grandfather was an avid drinker. As both of my grandfathers actually were avid drinkers. So with that being said, I like to represent them by putting a shot of some Crown or a shot of some Hennessy or something that I know that they would like to drink. Like, I personally drink a lot of fruity drinks, but I wouldn't put that on my altar. Because I know my ancestors, if I put some pina colada on there, they're going to look at me like, girl, take that away and just bring the rum back. So that comes with just building up that connection with your ancestors, talking to the people that are still alive and figuring out how your family members were when they were still walking on this earth. When I first started connecting with my ancestors, I remember someone came to me. And I had no idea who he was, but he knew who I was. And I was like, who are you? And he mentioned something, and I don't want to say it, but he mentioned something. And I was so lost. I was like, what? I'm tweaking. Like, I really thought, I was like, oh no, like what? I start freaking out a little bit. I'm not even going to lie. But something had told me to mention that to my father. I didn't mention the whole situation to my father, but I mentioned what that person mentioned to me. And he was like, how did you know that? And I was like, why wouldn't I know that? He was like, that's my grandfather. Like, my grandfather used to do that. My grandfather. And he started telling me about his grandfather. And then after just meditating and connecting with my ancestors more, I realized that the person who came to me was my great-grandfather. And once I started building up that rapport, and now we have our own connection outside of my father. But with that being said, is that you want to make sure that you're having those conversations with the people that are alive to find out about the people who have passed away in your family. So if that means one day calling your mom and be like, tell me about my great-grandma, or tell me about my great-great-grandma, or what, you know, where are we from? Like, especially if you come from like a family like mine's where we are all up north. Like, I'm from Chicago. The reality of it is we're not from Chicago. Find out what happened. I asked my mother one time, was like, how did y'all get to Chicago? And my mother's like, well, my dad killed a white man in Mississippi, and they had to escape in the middle of the night. Then I searched it. Then I learned more about it. Then I asked my uncles about it. And then I found out that this white man was disrespecting my grandfather in front of his wife, and my grandfather wasn't about that. Like, he was about that life. You was not finna try to hoe him. And for that, I am so, like, that lets me know I have that warrior blood in me. It lets me know that I got that fighter blood in me. But just building up that rapport with the people that are still alive so that you can learn more about your ancestors, so that you can bring them offerings that you know that they will like. I say all that to say that that was pretty long-winded, but I feel like bringing offerings to your ancestors are extremely important, because that's the way that you will bring them into your house. So now that we have what to give them, let's show you how to give it to them. When you are giving someone an offering, and I know I keep saying this, but this is very, very, very important. And I honestly, if you keep this one thought in your head, you will honor your ancestors in the correct way. You want to treat the dead in your home like you would treat the living in your home. So once you prepare that food for your company, for your ancestors, you want to make sure that you are giving them the food with love and respect. For your ancestors, personally for me, I like to sit down with my ancestors and eat with my ancestors. So, like I said before, you don't want to eat off the offering plate. You don't want to sit there and be walking past your altar and be like, let me grab that banana, I'm hungry. Don't do that. But if you want to give your ancestors something and then make yourself a separate plate and sit down at your altar and talk to your ancestors while you're eating your food, that is perfectly fine. For me, a few weeks ago, my grandmother's birthday had passed. With that being said, I had put some chocolate-covered strawberries on my altar. And when I put the chocolate-covered strawberries on my altar, I bought four. So I gave her two, and I gave me two. And I sat down, and I ate my chocolate-covered strawberries with her. And I talked about how much I loved her. I talked about how much, even though I'm 31 now, and even though she passed away when I was 9, I wanted to let her know, I wanted to iterate to her that she was so important and such a valuable person in my life. Like, I love her so much, how much I hope that I am making her proud. I asked her, am I making you proud? I want to do whatever it is to honor you. I want people to look at me and be like, she has the blood of a Lewis. She has the blood of a Bingham. She has the blood of a Pryor running through my veins. I understand that I am on this earth to represent not only myself, but represent my ancestors as well. And I had that conversation with her. I let her know how much I loved her as we ate our strawberries together, as we celebrated her birthday together. Even though she hasn't been on this earth for at least 21 years, she is still appreciated and loved and respected, and her memory still lives on this earth. So you want to make sure as you're giving these offerings that you are building up that connection with them, that you're treating them like you would treat the living in your house. You wouldn't treat the living in your house like making them a plate and being like, here girl, here your food. You wouldn't do that to the living. Hopefully you wouldn't do that, because I know some people ain't got Some people ain't got no home training. So some people might be doing that, but please don't. But don't do it to the living in your house, but definitely don't do it to your ancestors. So you want to make sure that you're giving them their offerings with love, that you're letting them know that they're loved, that they're respected. And even though their feet might not touch this earth anymore, their heart is still present. Their spirit is still present. So giving offerings are very important. And just to piggyback off the live that I was talking about in the beginning of this podcast about you doing any type of spell work without building up this relationship. This relationship is needed in order to do any spell work, because you need to show them that you love them. You need to show them that you care for them. You need to show them that you respect them before you ask for something, before you say, hey, help me with this love spell. Hey, bind this man to me. Hey, do this and do that. You need to build up that rapport. But to piggyback off of that, don't build up this rapport only because you want to do spell work in the future. Build up this rapport because you want to respect and love your ancestors. Don't go into this being like, let me build up this rapport right quick so that I can ask her for something later on. No. No. She knows your heart. They know your heart, I should say. They know your heart. They know how you're coming to them. They know if you're coming to them just being nice right now because you want to ask them for some shit later on in life. They know. And they won't accept it. And even if you feel like you've built up that relationship and you've only done it just so you can ask them for something, you still won't prosper. This needs to be a pure intention. You need to be going into this not wanting anything out of it. You need to be walking into this spiritual realm knowing that you might walk out with no physical abundance, only a spiritual connection. And once you get to that point, then only after then you will be able to ask your ancestors for things. But if you go into this situation thinking, let me just build this spiritual connection so I can ask for some shit, they already peep gang. They peep gang. Our ancestors are not dumb, especially if you come from an African diaspora. They ain't dumb. Well, my grandma used to say, I didn't make it this long being stupid. I ain't make it alive this long being stupid. They not dumb. They know. They know what you own. So make sure your heart is pure no matter what you do. So those are the basic things that you need on your altar. Now, you can make it as extravagant as you want, or you can make it as simple as you want. It's all up to you. That is your personal decision. Now, let's talk about the upkeep of your altar. I see a lot of people with these dusty altars, and trust me, I can't judge, because I used to have a dusty altar as well. I used to only clean it like once every month. Tragic. But like I said before, and if you keep this thought in your mind, you will honor your ancestors perfectly fine. Oh, bars. Anyways, treat the dead in your life like you treat the living. You want to trample through your grandma's house making a mess, don't trample through her altar making a mess at the same time. So for me personally, I clean my altar like every 2 days. Just because I want to make sure that it is nice and clean. I want to make sure that it don't have no incense ashes everywhere, that isn't dirty. I burn a lot of pillar candles, so with that being said, I sometimes have to like clean up the extra wax, etc., etc., like whatever it what makes it dirty. Let's make sure it's clean, because that plays a huge part in honoring them, is making sure that they have a clean space to come to. Now, let's talk about maintaining this relationship with our ancestors. Because, yes, you might have built a bomb-ass altar, but if you have not maintained the relationship with your ancestors, what good is the altar? The altar is just the gateway to them. It isn't all you need to do. You need to make sure that you are still building up that connection. Like I stated before, you need to make sure that you're coming to them with a pure heart. You're not just coming to them to ask them for something. You're coming to them to communicate with them, to show them how grateful you are that they are in your, their blood runs through your blood. You just need to let them know that, you know, you are here for them and you are grateful for them and you respect them and you honor them. And personally for me, I do that every single day. Sometimes 2 days, two times a day, sometimes three times a day, since your girl's been stuck in the house for like 20 something days at this point. I will sit at my altar for hours just paying homage to the people that came before me. And personally for my own ancestors, just everything that they've been through with everything. And not to say that my ancestors' stories are different than anyone else's, because we know we've all dealt with, or they dealt with, some type of form of racism, whether it be slavery, Jim Crow, etc. But just to know that I came from a family who did so much, and I came from a family, like I said before, my grandfather having to sneak to Chicago in the middle of the night. And just to know, like, my great-grandfather actually was like one of the first black men from the University of Illinois to get his degree, but he wasn't even able to be an engineer, so he was a meat inspector, and he wasn't even respected at that, but he held his head up high and he continued to get education knowing that he couldn't do it. Like, I can go on and on bragging about my ancestors because they're so fucking bomb. Like, bro, like, when I think about them, I just want to respect them. Right now I want to go sit at my altar and just be like, thank you for being you. Thank you for creating my grandma, creating my mother and my father, and they created me. I am so blessed and I'm so happy that you are my ancestors. And I feel like once you get to that point, then you can start doing root work. Then you can start asking them for things. But you got to get to that point first. You got to get to that point. You have to sit down and have conversations with them. You have to build up that rapport with them. You have to talk to them. And you don't have to do it every day. I personally do it every day. You can do it. But I say personally one to three times a week, sitting down and having that conversation with them. You don't even have to be at your altar to have that conversation. I've built up the connection with my ancestors. We could be talking in a car. We could be talking at work. I sometimes have to go in the bathroom at work when people pissing me off and be like, grandma, let me tell you what this motherfucker did to me right now. This bitch got me fucked up. And my grandma gonna be like, what the fuck this bitch do to you? Because we've built up that relationship with them. I built up that relationship with my ancestors that we can talk like that. We good like that. But with that being said, you have to get to that point. And it doesn't matter what your altar looks like. It does, but it doesn't. If you're not going to do what it takes to maintain the relationship, to connect with the relationship. So That is extremely important. I feel like that is like number one. I don't care what your altar look like. If you can't maintain a relationship with them, don't ask them for nothing. Don't do no root work. And most importantly, and I know I'm about to go off on a tangent with this, don't judge me, but don't jump. Don't jump. I see so many people trying to be like, I'm the daughter of Oshun. Let me wear yellow. But you haven't connected with your grandma. Does that make sense? Make it make sense. Can you have to connect with your ancestors before connecting with any other deity? The Oshun is not going to look at you. The Orishas, they're going to be like, who the fuck is this bitch? They're going to look at your grandma and be like, you know her? Your grandma going to be like, nope. Who that? And you're not going to get nowhere. You have to build up your relationship with your ancestors before you're asking them for root work, before you're trying to worship someone else. You can't worship Oshun until you worship your grandma. And you have to make sure that you're doing this from a place of humbleness. Yeah, you gotta cultivate your family with love and respect. You can't just go to them like, let me go ahead and honor my grandma so I can just start wearing yellow and start honoring Oshun, because that's not gonna work. Like I said before, they know your intentions. Like my grandma said, I didn't get this old being dumb, and you don't think, and they knew shit before they passed away. Now they know more. You think they got time to be playing with you? Like, can we be 100% real? They ain't got time to be playing with you. So make sure that whatever you're doing and however you're doing it, you're going with a clear conscience. You're going there with an open heart. You're not going there with a hidden agenda. Because if you're going in this with a hidden agenda, if you're only honoring your ancestors because you want to do some root work, or if you're only honoring your ancestors because you want to start honoring Oshun, they're going to know. They're going to know. And you need to make sure that your relationship with your own ancestors are good before you start practicing any deities. But that's a whole nother other situation. I be seeing that on social media. I'm just like, oh. Okay. But your grandma though. Your great grandma though. Your great 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 grandma though. You don't even know their names, but yet you wearing yellow in every photo. No shade. But anyways, but I'm sorry about that tangent, but honestly, that shit gets on my nerves. Like, you gotta make sure that you are connecting with your ancestors, because everything I said in this means something, but it means nothing if you are not building up that spiritual connection. I don't care what your altar looks like. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care. They don't care. They want to have that honest conversation with you. And It doesn't always have to be so Instagram-y. I know a lot of people feel like, you know, I gotta play the Zenful music in the background, and I gotta have every candle lit, and I gotta put a floating candle in the water. I gotta do this and I gotta do that. It don't gotta be all of that. I always have my 7-day candles lit on my altar. I have one lit for my business at all times. I've actually learned that from Bossy Bruja. And I also have a protection candle lit on my altar. And I do have another altar that is an Oshun altar. And it isn't to ask Oshun for anything. It's just to pay respect for everything that she is. And I have that lit as well. But as far as having all my candles lit, no, I don't have all my candles lit. I personally don't play any Zenful music. Like, I'm not playing meditation music. I'm playing music that my ancestors like. Like, my grandmother was a diehard Tupac fan before she passed away, so I've thrown some Tupac. I'll sit there like, girl, let's listen to Nipsey. You like Tupac? You gonna like Nipsey. I'll listen to some Al Green. I'll listen to some B.B. King. I'll listen to some Nina Simone. I listen to what they listen to. I listen to what they want to listen to. Sometimes I sit at my altar and I don't even play music. Sometimes me and my grandmother was a huge crime show watchers when she was alive. We watched the entire episode of Law and Order, SVU, the first season, because she did not make it to live to the second season. My grandmother has been gone for over 21 years. With that being said, it's times that I'll bring my iPad and I'll sit at my altar and we'll watch Law and Order together. it doesn't have to be Instagram worthy. It just has to be pure. Don't feel like you're not doing something right if you're doing something that you like. If you knew you and your grandma used to like basketball together, or you and your grandfather used to like football together, watch a football game at your altar. Talk about football. Have that conversation with them. And I know it's going to be weird at first. I know that people are going to be like, what are you doing? My mother moved in with me in April 6, 2019. She's actually been here for a year today. But with that being said, when she first got here, she used to come in my room and be like, what the fuck is this? Now she comes in my room and she's like, you and all these candles, Miss High Priestess. And I was like, I've never said I was a high priestess. Where did you get that from? But I think it's crazy because she says things now that I know that she's actually been researching. I know that she's actually. And then when I start bringing her into it and I start talking to her with it, she start realizing that this isn't devil worshiping. This is worshiping her mother. This is worshiping her grandmother, her father. She start being a little bit more open and willing to the idea of having so many altars around the house, because I currently have like 5 altars around the house. Like I said, I have an altar that is strictly just to honor Oshun. I have altars to honor my grandmother, my grandfathers. I grew up, a girl got altars in this crib. So I say that to say that when you're starting to get into it, it might seem uncomfortable and the people around you might not understand it. And that's okay. They ain't gotta understand it, as long as you understand it. And if you want to bring them into it, then do so. But don't feel obligated to. Personally, I start slowly bringing my mother into it. But you don't have to if you don't want to. So those right there are key steps that you need in order to build a connection with your ancestors. I know I went on a tangent at the end. I am so sorry, but I personally get offended. Not really offended. I side-eye people who jump to the orishas and not honor their ancestors. And I side-eye people, especially if they're taking money for any type of work. And they're openly, because no one really knows your relationship, but if they openly be like, oh no, like, I only do orishas, I don't do my own ancestors, I side-eyed you. No offense, I'm judging. But let me go ahead and get up out of here. I hope you guys are having a safe quarantine. Make sure that you check out my Instagram at Jasmine Deneen. Go ahead and follow me. I'm trying to get to 5,000 people before May 1st, and I feel like this is something that I can really do. So your girl is trying really hard at manifesting that. Speaking of manifestation, make sure that you check out my, that was a smooth ass like transition. Anyways, make sure that you check out my accountability series that's on my website, and it's actually on YouTube as well. This is where we work through our vision board together so that we can accomplish a lot of things in 2020. I know 2020 seems pretty fucking crazy as of right now, but we still have many months. We got, I'm bad at math. 12, 8, I don't know. I'm so bad at math. We got like 9 months to go. Well, we got 9 months to go. So we still got time to do some stuff. Like, I know it's crazy now, but we still got time to do some stuff. So check me out on my accountability series. It's on my website as well as YouTube. Everything is under my name, Jasmine Deneen. So go ahead, check it out. Check out my website. What else do I want to talk about? Yeah, check out my website. I got a lot of free content on there on meditations, my blog, and different things like that. I also have my store on there where I sell self-love baths, money baths, protection baths. What else do I have on there? I have oils on there, I have incense on there, I have ritual tools, I have all of that stuff on there. But just remember that none of that means nothing if you don't have that connection to your ancestors as well. But nevertheless, I'm done with this outro longer than a motherfucker. Let me get up out of here and check you out later. Bye.